tell y'all, it's kind of tough being a preacher. And sometimes speaking is an awesome task. It's always awesome. But I tell you what, when you get older and the older you get, the slower your mind gets. And I've been struggling all week studying and preparing to speak today, and I'm kind of dragging this morning. My mind is not functioning like it ought to. And the message that I wanted to bring is my mind needs to be loose and free. And so I'm just debating whether to try to preach it or not. And then preach something else. And I'd like for y'all to let's just bow in prayer and just pray at this time. Thank you, Shea. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the messages and preach something that's very important for all of us to be aware of and be committed to, in order that God may be able to do what He wants to do through us. And the message that I've been working on this week has to deal with suffering. I know that we're living in difficult and trying times, and a lot of people are suffering. I deal with it every day and every week. But maybe I'll have a chance to come back later and do that. But one of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 1. And if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, you can follow along with me as we share in this message. And the outline is very clear and very simple. But we notice that the Apostle Paul, as always, as he is writing this letter, he is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he is, and the words that he pens are words of great encouragement, as we learn of the greatness of God and His great love that He has for all of us as a people and as a world. And Paul, in his introduction to the church, he describes that he is a servant of God. And I guess of any word that could bring such honor. I think the most honorable thing that can be said about anyone is that they are a servant of God and that you serve Him. And we don't need to say anything else about a person. If he is a servant of God, all of his education and all the accomplishments perhaps in life. But to be identified as God's servant is the great and the glorious identification. And it's not only for Paul, but it's for all of you. Because all of you, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you become His servant. And the Apostle Paul, his longing has always been to go to Rome. Because Rome is a strategic point. And all roads lead to Rome. You have heard that statement. And roads went out from Rome to the rest of the civilized world. And Paul felt that if he could get to Rome and share the gospel there, that there would be many people who would come to know Christ and the gospel could be spread as they went out and as they traveled to other points in the world at that time. And so Paul, in describing himself, and we all too can describe ourselves in the same way that Paul did. And in verses 14 through 16, there are three I ams. And we notice that, first of all, Paul, in thinking of his obligation since he had come to know Christ, he saw himself as a debtor to God. First of all, because God, in His infinite mercy and grace, had provided redemption and salvation for him. And God so loved him that He sent His Son to die for him on the cross of Calvary and then to rise triumphantly over the grave. And we all know if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. And so just suffering and dying and suffering for our sins and taking our punishment upon Himself, we know that it had to be more than that. There had to be victory over the last enemy, which is death. And so Paul, as he reflected upon his relationship with God and his responsibility, he saw himself as being indebted to the Lord, and he is to be his servant. And he is to serve him. He is to honor him. And he is to be committed to him. And he is to be ready and available to do whatever God has for him to do. And so Paul talks about, I am debtor. And he talks about how he's a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So he had a responsibility to all the world. And so once you come to know Christ and you come to know Him in that intimate way, you too sense that everybody in this world needs Jesus. And you want to be used of God in helping others to come to know Him. And you want to share, you know, your experience with others who have not come to know Christ so that they may come to know Him and experience what you experience in the closeness and the fellowship that you have with God and the peace that comes and makes us aware that we are secure in Him. Joe Ingram, some of you may know him. This week as I was having my tires rotated, he is a man that was working at the Oakwood Tire Place. And I had talked with Joe for many years, off and on. And whenever he was 11 years old, he was baptized. But his life didn't really reflect the love of the Lord, and his life did not reflect the holiness that is supposed to come to our lives, nor the desire or the longing for help for other people to come to know Jesus. He still was a self-centered man. A few weeks ago, I went by, and he said, "Paul, I got something I want to tell you." And so he says, "I got saved last week." And I went back this week, as I said before, and whenever I got there, I could tell a difference in Joe. You've heard the saying how that we become a new creation whenever we come to know Christ. Joe is a new creation. There is a reflection in his life and there is a happiness and there is a excitement about his life, 61 years of age, having squandered most of his life away, not knowing of the closeness and the warmth of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy of living for him and with him, and the joy of being able to be in filled with the Spirit of God. And so Joe is a new creature. And he wants to tell everybody. And that is the thing about coming to know Christ. I know that there's a lot of things that I cannot tell you about God, and a lot of things I don't really know. But I know that whenever the Lord came into my heart as a young man, I knew that I was a changed person. And one of the things that came to my heart and the longing that I had was to help other people come to know Jesus. And so I just did what I could. And I just went out and filled my car full of kids and young people and brought them to church. Because it was at church where I sat in a pew like you're sitting, where I heard the gospel. And that's where God touched my heart for the first time. And under the drawing and the wooing of the Holy Spirit, he tugged at my heart and led me to confess him as Savior and Lord that night. And so we are debtors as Christians. If you are saved, you are in debt to the entire world. To the little kids up and down the streets, to the people on the other, far across the world. And our world is in turmoil. And I'm telling you, this world is being ripped apart. All over this world we have people that's inhumane to human beings. People suffering on every hand. And seeing people struggling for life and for living in this world, in our society, up and down our roads. And people writhing in pain. And all over this world, there are people looking for hope, and people need God. And I cannot comprehend how that a world would want to reject peace and love and acceptance for brutality in their religions and a desire to kill and destroy and not have any love or respect for others in this life. But whenever you come to know Christ as your Savior, we become indebted to the world and indebted to all. And that includes the people that lives next door to you too. The people that you meet along the life's road. And so Paul says, I am a debtor. And he says, I'm a debtor to Rome. I'm a debtor to people there. And I want to come and share the gospel in order that the gospel might be spread and that others might come to know the Lord. And in the next verse, I don't know, I can't see very well, but in 14 through 15, the next I am is not only that I'm a debtor, but he says, I'm ready. And so he had come to know Christ, and he had come to walk with him and to experience him, and knew of the deliverance and the freedom and the joy and the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit and his filling his life and giving him something to do, something that he once was against. He begins to preach and to proclaim and give the gospel to the world of his day. He was ready to suffer. He was ready to go anywhere. He was ready to do anything. And so we are debtors, and we too ought to be ready to serve God, to go anywhere he wants us to go, to talk to anybody he wants us to talk to minister to anybody that needs ministering unto, to become a friend to the friendless and a help to the homeless, and to reach out to the people who are enslaved in drugs and alcohol and all of these things. We have a man sitting in our congregation tonight or today, whose mother and grandfather and others prayed for many years. Burden crushed in her heart. Seeing her son that way. But today, he's sitting in church. delivered, set free, sharing his testimony. With physical limitations, he needed a job, and God gave him a job. I'm telling you, we ought to be ready to share the gospel, ready to minister. We ought to be ready to teach. We ought to be ready to sing. We ought to have this choir filled and running over. And you've heard me say it and say it before. The Christian religion is the only religion in the world that is a singing religion. And I thank God that all of you, I've seen so many wonderful expressions of joy in your heart. And I've seen some of you with songs on your lips. And if I had to seal my lips and couldn't sing, and I'm not going to sing to y'all today. But I don't know what I'd do, because sometimes I just got to sing. I can walk up and down the roads, and whenever I'm walking down at the place down below my house, I want you to know that when I'm down, I sing. When I'm up, I sing. But I want you to know that it's the most wonderful thing to give expression of praise to God. We ought to praise Him. We ought to lift Him up. And whenever we come to the house of the Lord, it's a time where we seek Him, and not just to have fellowship with one another, just to be at church. It's a time whenever we're seeking God. And if we don't meet God, we go like away just like we came, with all our problems, all our burdens, and all our heartache. But whenever you come to church, if you really worship God and get in the presence of God, you're going to find joy. And you're going to find that you can really kneel at the altar and leave your burdens there. Because God can make your burdens roll away. And what I was thinking about preaching on is, you know, is about the comfort of God, about the suffering in the world, and the comfort that He brings to all of us, and the ministry that He gives unto us, and the hope that throbs within our bosom. But you ought not have to be begged to work in a nursery, to keep the little children of young couples that come to church, so that they can worship God and not have to deal with the children, but put them in a place where somebody that loves them and want to teach them and want their parents to come to know God better, so that the children may have a better chance in this world. And little children, you ought to be want to teach them. When there's an opportunity, you ought not have to be begged. And don't think about sacrifice, because you never sacrifice when you serve God and give your life in ministering to people and ministering to little children. Had a little child one time, 5 years old, came up by me one night at church. And I was talking to someone, and the child caught me by the pants leg and tugged on it. And I looked down there, and I said, "Yeah, Nathan, what you want?" He said, "I want to tell you something, Paul, Brother Paul." And I said, "What you want to tell me?" He said, "I got saved last night." I said, "You what?" He said, "I got saved last night." And he said, "You want me to tell you about it?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "Well, you know, I got to thinking, and I realized I was a sinner." He has had a mama that really loved Jesus, and a daddy who loved the Lord, but not like his mama. And that mama and that daddy taught that little child that we are all sinners, and what Jesus had done, and how to be saved. And he said, "You know, I realized I was a sinner." And he said, "You know what?" And I said, "What?" He said, "I just prayed and asked Jesus to come in my heart." And I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "And you know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "He did." Children, smarter than a whip. Smarter than at five than I was at 20. I'm telling you, who cannot but love little children? And Jesus says, "Suffer little children to come unto me." And wherever there is an opportunity and wherever there's a need on a committee and to help the church be carried on, the work of God be carried on more effectively. And anytime you see anything that needs to be done, you ought to be ready. And you ought to be ready to go wherever God wants you to go. On the mission field, down the road, or wherever. And sometimes God just lays somebody on your heart that you need to go see. And I know I have experienced people being laid on my heart. And I would go. And they would say, How do you know to come tonight? God, when He lays somebody on your heart, whatever it is, you don't know what the needs may be, but you ought to go. And so Paul says, I'm a debtor. And he says, and I'm ready to pay the debt. And I'm ready to reach out to this entire world. Go wherever you want me to go and suffer however you want me to suffer. And no matter what I have to go through, I want to serve you. And I want to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And if you want to read a passage of Scripture that I was going to reflect on some today, read 2 Thessalonians. And read the first few chapters in that letter that Paul is writing. And understand what he had to go through. And what he was facing. And how that he gladly suffered in order that through his suffering that others might come to know Christ. And so he says, I'm ready to go. And the last point was, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. How can anybody be ashamed of something so grand and so glorious and so wonderful? How can we be ashamed of Jesus? How can we be ashamed of God who loved us so much and loves us no matter who we are and whatever we're going through and wants to share with us and bring us up out of our pits, out of our enslavement, out of our life whereby we are living and we just live in a normal life that's just around, going around in circles, and give us a life of purpose and being, and deliver us from our sins that enslave us and set us free that we might become what we want to be, because He will be there to help you that you might be able to break loose from the shackles of sin. And He is there to walk with you and lead you and guide you in the midst of life in order that you might be able to have life at its very best here. And then whenever this old life is over, to restore you to that glorious and idyllic world that God made for man to live in before sin got in and messed things up and made this world such of an awful place in many ways. There's never been a story like the story of Jesus, like the gospel story. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. I have sat and talked with people that had never heard it. And they were astonished to know that God loved so. And that there was hope in the midst of life. And whenever you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, all you got to do is just simply tell the story of Jesus. And whenever you tell folks how that God didn't make a world that was full of sin and that, but He made a glorious world and made life glorious for man, and how that sin got in it and messed it up. And the only way that man could have a choice, because we are born into a sinful world, was for God to send His Son. And sending His Son who made the way for us and made it possible that we could find forgiveness of sin. And whenever our sins was forgiven, that we could come into a relationship with God and have the fellowship with God. And one grand and glorious day, we will have the fellowship with God that will be like the fellowship that Adam and Eve shared with God in the Garden of Eden. And how they met in the cool of the day. How glorious. But the gospel is powerful. It's powerful in it, just in the message itself. And whenever you share it and whenever you tell it, the gospel comes unto them in power. Not only in the power of the Word and the message of the Word, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings conviction to your heart and makes you aware you're a sinner and you're under the judgment of your sins, but makes you aware of the love of God and how that God loves you and He is drawing you and wooing you through His Holy Spirit. And if you would only trust Him, believe in Him, and yield to Him, then He'll save you from your sins. We're all debtors. Are we ready? Are you not ashamed? Then tell the story of Jesus and His love. I talked with a vile, sinful man, mean as any man could be, a while back. Life all messed up. And he had come to a place where he realized he needed help. And as I related to him that God loved him anyway, he couldn't believe that God could love him. He would, and being the man he was, it'd be pretty hard for anybody to love him, really, to tell you the truth from the human standpoint. But that man, as I shared with him, you know, the gospel story, and he would just simply say, I can't be saved. He said, there's no hope for me. He said, I'm such of a terrible sinner. I said, well, that's the only people God can save. You're sinners. And if you don't know you're a sinner, you can't get saved. And as I simply untold the wonderful love of God, I laid my hand out. And y'all probably have heard me say this before, but I just laid my hand out and continued to describe how God loved him. And I shared with him how people would often put their hand in mine. And in so doing, yielding their hearts to Jesus. And while I was talking, he laid his hand over to my hand. And he said, later, before he left, he said, it's been the greatest day of my whole life. And the greatest thing you can do for yourself, if you want to do yourself a favor, if you're not a Christian, just yield yourself to God, who loves you so. He's took care of everything that you can be brought back into His fellowship, that you might know Him and share with Him and live with Him, and will drive your fears away, give you peace in your troubled heart, and give you something to do. And so today, if you're here and you're God's child, and you've been living a very selfish life, and you can do that, having been saved, but you don't know the joy of the Christian life. You don't know the abundant life until you give yourself away to God. If you would just give yourself and service, and be ready to minister to people around you and in your home and wherever you go, and begin to tell the wonderful story. And so I remember years ago when I got saved, we had a hymn that we would sing when people come to know Jesus. And that was almost every Sunday. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. The happiest day, a little boy told me, I had a funeral yesterday, and a little boy out of that family told me, coming down from Andy River Falls up in the mountains where I carried him after vacation Bible school. And as he walked along beside me, he said, "Preacher Paul, this is the best day of my whole life." And he said, "Nope." He's the best day was when I accepted Jesus in my heart. So if you are having a bad day as a Christian, come to Jesus. Bow humbly before Him. Submit your life to Him. And let Him become Lord in your life. And if you're not a Christian, this can be the best day of your whole life if you will just simply trust Jesus, confess your sins to Him, and ask Him to be your Savior. And we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And as we're standing and singing, some of you might want to come just to kneel and pray, realizing you're a debtor and you haven't been paying the debt to those around you and to God in faithfulness and commitment to Him and in service to Him. And you might want to come just in rededication, kneeling and talking with Jesus. You may have some problems in your life. You might just want to just pray and talk with God a little bit down here on your knees. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if you can't get down there on your knees and you want to pray, you can pray right where you are. And some of you need to make a commitment to unite with the church, get in the church, and go to work and serve God, pay your debt, and be ready to serve Him. And don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. May we sing, "What's Your Number?"